This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Over the past century, heavy rainfall and snowstorms have grown more frequent in many parts of the U.S., including the Northeast. In a study published last month, Dartmouth College researchers investigated exactly what those changes looked like here in New England. Joining me now to talk about this report is Concord Monitor columnist and Granite Geek David Brooks. David, thank you as always for being here.
And you're welcome as always.
So you write in your column this week, David, that the context to all of this is a 2014 report called the National Climate Assessment. What did that report find and how did it prompt this new study?
As the title suggests, it was trying to assess the climate and how it had changed over the whole country. And so it broke things up into regions, and it looked at various parameters over time. And one of the things it found was that extreme precipitation events had increased in most of the country and had increased more in New England than elsewhere, or Northeast, excuse me.
And when we talk about extreme precipitation events, what exactly does that mean?
Well, the definitions can vary slightly, but for the study we're about to talk about, it's 2 inches of precipitation or more in a 24-hour period, which is a lot. We had a ton of rain last week, and I got an inch in 1.2 inches in one 24-hour period. So 2 inches is a lot.
Could be rain, could be snow.
Could be rain, could be snow melted down to 2 inches of water. Could be hail, I suppose.
Okay.
Okay, so it looked at that and said, hey, the Northeast had more. And so some researchers, including some folks at Dartmouth, actually Columbia and University of Vermont, said, well, let's look at it more closely, because if we just look at the Northeast, we can parse the data more carefully. So they gathered historical precipitation data from almost 5,900 weather stations all around the Northeast. And their definition of Northeast extends clear down to West Virginia. And so they looked at what had happened over time. And they found that, yes, indeed, the number of extreme precipitation events had increased over basically the last century, started about 1910. But what was odd is that they didn't increase very much at all until the middle of the 1990s, and then suddenly it jumped. And so the number since about 1995 has been much higher than it was before that.
And no sense about why that may be.
No, this is your classic good science, because good science generates more questions than it produces answers. And so you're right. The question is obviously, what the heck happened? And then, why did it happen?
Mm-hmm. And can you give us a sense of what this change may have felt like to someone living in one of the affected areas? You say north of West Virginia.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, anecdotally, we all kind of know it. It feels like there have been more flooding events. I mean, this is flooding events. So this is not like the total amount of rain you get over the course of the year necessarily, because, you know, if there's a drought like we had last year, that would drop the average. But then if you get a flood, if you get an Irene or you get something like that, That is what we're talking about. Large events like that, you know, wash out culverts and you know, overrun your roads and flood fields. You know, my joke is that, you know, umbrellas became more necessary as of 1995. And to a certain extent, that may not be true, because we might actually be having not much more rain total, because we might be having more dry spells in between the extreme spells. It's definitely the extreme weather, which climate change, all the models indicate, is likely to increase. And this is an example, although it's increasing in an unexpected way.
So do the researchers assert that this is due in part to climate change?
No, they're not. Of course not. They're being very careful about it. And it's too early there. So what they're really trying to do is improve their climate models, the computer models, so they can predict what's going to happen in the future.
Climate models, of course, one of those things that critics will say, like, oh, you can prove anything with the climate model, as you write in this week's column.
As you write, you can prove anything, but climate models are very, very good. You and I use climate models and weather models every single day to plan. You know how when I was a kid, nobody knew what the weather was going to be like in 2 days. And now I can look at a phone, I get mad if it can't tell me whether it's going to rain in an hour. And that's all due to climate modeling and more gathering more information and the like. So they want to use this information to create a better climate model to know what's going on in the future. So they're going back right now and looking at data about what was happening in the atmosphere around the mid-90s when this was happening. Was there some change in the jet stream? Was there some change in low-pressure systems down in the Caribbean that pushed tropical storms up north when it used to be they didn't come up north? Things like that. And once they can find that information is part of a climate model that can be used for the big picture, which can percolate down as to what changes we're more likely to see in the future.
So it seems like these climate models, as they're developed, begin to take on more and more variables that, I guess, in your view, David, make them more reliable.
Oh, absolutely. Make it more information you can get, and the more interaction, the more you understand about it. This is an indication of why climate is such an incredibly difficult thing, and climate change is such an incredibly difficult thing to measure and to predict. So you and I would think, you know, we're laymen. There's a little bit more greenhouse gas in the atmosphere every year. Things are going to get slightly warmer, maybe get slightly wetter every year, and we'll just sort of slowly march up. But that's not at all what happens. It doesn't change for a while, and then it suddenly leaps for some reason because there's an interaction that's happening in the background that we don't understand. So the more of this kind of information you can get, the more we can predict this weird, you know, ratcheting, jumping up and down, changing system that is the climate that's going to make life interesting in decades to come.
Well, David, may you live in interesting times.
No, not that, please.
Thank you very much for coming in and sharing this with us.
You bet.
That's David Brooks. He's a columnist for the Concord Monitor and the writer who rains his geekiness down upon us at regular intervals at graniteGeek.org.